Says the Ramban. We know that what Rashi said, Ki yad al keis ka melchamela Hashem ba'amalek midor dor, that in Shemosha Kadosh Baruch Hu Shalem v'in Kiso Shalem, that's why it's not kisei, it's case, that's not yud, then hey, then vav, then hey, it's just ka. Because Amalek represents, of course, sort of this skepticism about God's presence, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbenu imayim. The Ramban begins. V'yesh mefarshim, ki kasher tia yad al kisei Hashem, tia milchama la Hashem b'amalek. So when there is a yad, so to speak, on kisei Hashem, okay, we'll see what that means in a second, that's when the milchama goes into effect. V'chein tia midor l'dor. What does that mean? V'ya inyon ki kasher ya melech b'Yisrael yoshev al kisei Hashem yulcham b'amalek v'hu remez l'sha'ul ha-melech harishon. So Shimshi, what's Ramban suggesting? That yad al kes ka means
when there's a king on Hashem's throne.
Exactly. So Hashem's throne not above, but Hashem's throne below, right? Because the idea is that the melech below is supposed to be an extension of the melech above, right? That's why the king, Sariel, always has to carry around the Sefer Torah. Very good, Kivi, right? Because he's an extension of the king above. If he wasn't, then Shmuel would have been right when he said regarding, you know, the Jewish people asking for a king that it was terrible. And Hashem said to them, Lo, said to Shmuel, Lo uscha masu, but who can finish the sentence? Ki oti masu mimlo chaleim. It's a rejection of me. So basically, a Jewish king is supposed to be an extension of Hashem. Yad al keska, meaning it's a mitzvah that's triggered by minoy melech. Let's not forget. What do the Gemara and Sanhedrin say? That there are three mitzvos that the Jewish people have when they enter the land of Israel. One, to appoint a king. Two, to wage war against Amalek. Three, to build a Beis HaMikdash. Okay? So it's only when you have a yad al kes ka, meaning an extension of Hashem, but here on this earth, that we're going to have Milchama la Hashem b'amalek. V'chein midor dor, lemor ki kol melech b'Yisrael chayov lilachim bahem ad sheyimachu. V'al derech hapshat nachon hu. That each and every successive king would have Eitan what responsibility? Until which point? Correct. Why? Because that's what the Pasuk says. Ki yad al kes ka Milchamala Hashem b'amalek, midor dor. That means it doesn't skip a generation, but as long as there's a melech, then the war continues. But let's say there would be no melech, then there'd be no basis for continuing with the milchama. So we don't have, at present, the Ramban is suggesting, an ongoing war against Amalek. Okay? V'gam zeh haderech midrasha b'gemara shamru. Kshua omer ki yad al keska milchama la Hashem b'amalek midor ador, harei lahamid aleihem melech tchila, ve'ein kes ka el melech, shene'emar vayeshev shlomo, the continuation of the pasuk is the important part, al kisei Hashem. Was Shlomo actually sitting in God's chair? No, you know why? It's a metaphor. He's sitting in God's chair, meaning he is an extension of Malchus Shamayim below. Okay. Now, the Rav used to like to suggest the following. We all remember the expression, as we've discussed, that Moshe said to Yoshua, quote, Bechar Lanu Anashim. And we talked about how Lanu was a way of Moshe giving great kavod to Yehoshua because he's equating them. Lanu, meaning you and me. Right? But we also noted that that was a way, according to the Rav, of giving Yehoshua the status of the king, because at that point in time, who was the king? Moshe, as it says in the scriptures. Vayhi vishurin melech. Well done. Bisasef rashiyam yachad shivtei Yisrael. Okay. V'al derech ho'emes. Emmanuel, anytime we have this expression in the Ramban, al derech ho'emes, it means the Ramban is going to appeal to the Kabbalistic tradition. When Emmanuel first applied to TABC, he said that he was looking forward to engaging in the Kabbalistic tradition. So I mentioned that in this context. A fascinating idea. Ki hayad asher al kisei ka v'hi milchama l'Hashem havayo b'amalek midor dor. Okay, or it should be hove, the footnote says. Ki midas hadin shel mala tia bo limchoso li'ola midor dor. That the way that God will act with Amalek is a little bit different than the way that God interacts with the rest of the world. Namely, that God interacts with Amalek through pure midas hadin. Right? There's no rachamim here. Echanan, if there were rachamim, what might we say about Amalek? That God looked at it and said, okay, they made a mistake, but we'll let it slide. So Shimon, which question, so to speak, is this section of the Ramban responding to? Right? Doesn't it seem a little bit harsh, right? We've talked about that. It's like a little disproportionate. As David would say, you know, as he has said, you know, you have to give people a second chance. In fact, he was saying this just at breakfast this morning to a group of friends. Normally, people actually do get a second chance. But Amalek somehow isn't getting a second chance. So the Ramban says, Sariel, that the only way to explain this is Hashem is interacting purely with Midas Hadin. Fascinating idea. Kiyad al kes ka milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek Aden is a reference to the fact that Amalek is given no rachamim whatsoever. Fascinating idea. I'd like to suggest the following, and I say it tentatively because I know literally nothing about Kabbalah. I'm a Litvak, guilty as charged. I come from those fellows over there. But who here, using Kalter Litvisher logic, cold svara, can explain in purely rational terms, even if this section of the Ramban, I admit, is metaphysical, but to me, in purely rational terms, why might it make sense to say, you know what, Amalek doesn't deserve any rachamim. God should interact with them on the pure basis of Midas Hadin. Yes! They acted with uninhibited cruelty. People who attack those who are weak and sick and elderly may not actually be deserving of rachamim. Okay? That's the way that I understand this section of the Ramban. If there are deeper, more metaphysical levels, you have to consult with your Chassidus Rebbeim. This is what I can understand. Okay. V'tam ha'onesh sh'ne'nash Amalek yoser mikol ha'amim ba'avur ki kol ha'amim sham'u v'yirgazun. What's this, of course, a reference to? Sham'u amim yirgazun chil trepidation, trembling achaz yoshvei palashas, the denizens of the Philistine territories. The world was trembling at the mighty outstretched arm of God. Pleshes Edom, Moab, Yoshua, Canaan, Namogu, Kol, Yoshua, Canaan, Tipol, Alehem, Amosa, Vafachad, Bigdol, Zero, Acho. When your mighty hand was outstretched, Yidmuka Oven, they went silent and still like a stone, inert. Ad Yavor Amechoa Hashem, Ad Yavor Amezukanisa, Zu meaning Asher. It was a moment of great revelation, as Sariel always likes to remind his friends, Ra'asa Shivcha Al Hayam. Mashalo ro Yechezkel ben Buzi al Nahar Kvar. Look at his junior high school / middle school yearbook. The quote is there. And because it was a moment of such profound revelation, such clarity for anybody who was involved, not just the Jew, not just the spiritually elevated Jew, but the Shivcha al Hayam, as Sariel likes to say, the average Jew, the mundane Jew. But it wasn't just for the Jews, Eitan, but it was for all of the nations of the ancient Near East. Tipol aleihem emas of afachad bigdol zeracha yid mukaven. Mipnei pachad Hashem, from a sense of terror in the face of God, ume hadar geono. What is hadar geono? The sheer splendor of His Majesty. In other words, it was a moment when all human beings could be prepared to accept Malchus Shemaim. In fact, Avi, which individual, according to the Gemara Masechta Zvachim, Kuf Tes Vav, was prepared to convert on this basis? None other than Jethro. Vayishma Yisro, Kohen Midyan Chosein Moshe, Mashmua Shama Uba. Some would say that it was a reference to Matan Torah. That's a little more controversial. That would require believing in Ein Mukdam Mu'uchar BaTorah. Some would say that it was a reference to Yetzias Mitzrayim with respect to the Makos. And others would say it was a reference to Kriyas Yamsuf. Some even say it's the battle against Amalek, the direct antecedent. But I like this idea of Yisro reacting how he did, and I'll get back to that point in just a moment, a moment's time. Well, you know what? I can't stop myself. Yisro and Amalek are always contrasted. Okay? Where do we see that Yisro and Amalek are separated from each other because they seem to have opposite reactions to Kriyas Yamsuf? Shmuel Aleph Perek Tesvav, what happens? Before Shaul wages a failed war of annihilation against Amalek, what does he do? Who does he go to and say, separate? That's absolutely right. Is it not poetic, Shimshi? It's highly appropriate. Kriyas Yamsuf engendered the opposite reaction when it came to Amalek, who attacked us, and Yisro, who was prepared to convert, according to the Gemara. And thus, there's poetic justice. When we settle our scores with Amalek, who do we make sure to protect? Those who reacted appropriately. V'Amalek bo mimirchak. Amalek came from a distance, whereas everybody was Yidmu Ka'aven. They were still, Benny. They were immobilized. They were not prepared to do anything because they recognized Malchus Shamayim. And Eitan, pay careful attention. The words of the Ramban are miduyak biyoser. V'amalek bo mimirchak. They came from a distance. In other words, there was no immediate threat to them. Kim mizgaber al Hashem. It was an attack on who? Hashem. The Jewish people weren't threatening them, but what, so to speak, bothered them, got their gander about this situation, that the entire world seemed prepared at that moment to accept the power of the Almighty, the sovereignty of God over the cosmos, Tevel v'chol yoshveva. L'kach amar bo, and thus the Ramban says, that's exactly why the Pasuk says, Vilo Yorei Elokim. They attacked God. The Jewish people, Eitan, posed no threat, yes, whatsoever to them. But Aiden, what did they find unsettling about this situation? It was precisely the fact that all of the neighboring peoples were prepared, seemingly at that point, Mipnei pachad Hashem vehadar ga'ono to do what, Hanan? To accept God. And we even know one who experienced all of the idolatry in the world, who is at that point, mashmu Hashem uva, prepared to engage in the conversion, as it says, ki finish the pasuk, atayadati, ki gadol Hashem mikol alukim, ki vadavar, asher zadu alehem. Because God brought justice to them in the manner in which they sought to destroy the Jews, that is to say, kol haben hayilod hayorat hashlichu, and how did God respond? Sus virochvo, ramah vayam. And then the Ramban throws in just, I wouldn't even call it a curveball, I'd call it a slider. It goes in a slightly different direction. He says, and I have something else to say about this also. Of course, what is the origin of Amalek? Amalek was the son of Eliphaz and his Pilegesh, a woman by the name of Timnah. People that we knew. In fact, the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, I'll tell you a secret, says, how did Timnah end up, we can't say marrying, she was only Pilegesh, but being a Pilegesh to Eliphaz? That first, what did she want to do? Nobody grows up wanting to be a Pilegesh, we can assume. What was her aspiration? To convert and to join the Jewish people. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Sadi Tes, she came to Avram, she came to Yitzchak, she came to Yaakov, she wanted to convert to Judaism. And they pushed her away. The Gemara says it was a terrible mistake. She wanted to be a member of the Jewish people. And so she figured, if I can't enter in the front door, I've got to go the back door. Okay? Says the Ramban, Ve'od ki hu nin Esav, Esav, Eliphaz, Amalek, Ve'korov lanu, a relation of ours, Over misaber al riv lo lo, meaning involving himself in a fight that was not his. Not his at all. So the Ramban is pointing out, we did not provoke Amalek, and they demonstrated in this assault on us, of course, a lack of filial loyalty. They came from Amalek. They came from Esav. Did they have any business attacking Yaakov? They should have reacted in a more loyal, familiar way. 3 points in the Ramban. According to the Ramban, Milchemes Amalek is midor ador, but only when there's a king. It's really a chovas hamelech. We'll talk about the difference between a chovas hamelech and a chovas hatzibor. And that what al-keis-ka, yad al-keis-ka, means that there has to be a melech. Okay? Number two in the Ramban, this is al-derech ha-emes, he says Amalek was not treated with any rachamim. It was pure midah sadin. That's what the pasuk means, yad al-keis-ka. Friedman says that that could be a direct result of the fact that they showed no rachamim themselves. And if you want to know, as Avi Rosenberg does want to know, why Amalek is singled out in this fashion, the Ramban says we have to look at the context. And the context at that point in time, world history, Shua was what? We say it every single day. Shamu Amim, Yergazun. Chil Achaz, Az Nifhalu, Eilei Moav, Namogu kol yoshekin. And Amalek saw that the world was prepared perhaps to make a change in terms of accepting Malchus Shamayim. And what do? They injected some doubt into the whole system. And finally, the Ramban says, there's something else I think is at play here. What's the family story of Amalek? That's exactly right. I want to conclude with the words of a Medrash. The descendant of Esav showed no compassion on the Jewish people. You know what's really fascinating about this? Who remembers that Medrash that Rashi quotes in the context of Kivimakli Avarti Sayyode Hazel. Why did Yaakov Avinu have no assets whatsoever when he left his father? He couldn't leave his father's home with a little bit. Nachi? Who? Eliphaz. Eliphaz is the father of? And what did Eliphaz do? He showed compassion on Yaakov Avinu. He was sent by his father to kill him, but he didn't want to kill him. How does Rashi say it? That Eliphaz had been impacted by the fact that he was close to Yitzchak. Gadol al birkei Yitzchak. It was an act in some sense of compassion. Ani chashev kemeis. The son, however, shows no such compassion. And therefore, as David says, he is singled out for utter destruction and total and complete annihilation. Ezra Leibowitz.